Skybeer. His daughter gets pregnant and everybody thinks it's his because he's Skybeer. He's never washed nor combed his hair. He's mildly Rastafarian and lives on a sliver of land not high enough over the gully. When it rains, he's always an hour or two away from being washed away in his sleep, no less. Sky and his daughters, Chant, 16, and April, 12, sleep in the same room, but never in the same bed. And Chant's been pregnant now 1 month, and Sky hasn't chugged a beer in 3 months because he can't afford to, so it couldn't be his. He could never have done it sober. How he hates when Sunday rises over the white, grave-gripped Church of God, and all the good Christians ejaculate from their concrete box houses and stream to church in sharp black suits and sun-catching white dresses. He wishes it would rain and stay night forever. God can't hear the way the thirsty goats behind the sunny all-eight school weep and bleat at the merciless sun. Nor can he hear Chant and April snoring in the zinc behind. Nor can he see Skybeer about to jump all the way down to the stony dry season gully and break open his head like a dry coconut. He's not afraid of death. Death is sleep and wake up in his own world. And death isn't ugly. Death is that leggy browning down near the cardboard church with HIV too. Death is Skybeer asking Chant who the baby's father is and her saying nobody and him wanting to strangle her, but fighting death instead. He hasn't had a drink in so long. Now he's tossing down red stripes and tossing the bottles at the gully. You ought to see the sounds they make and don't make when he hurls them into the deep heart of the pool, just under the bridge, down from the coffee field, across from the rich white homes with satellites and cherry trees. But he could never desert Jamaica to slave on apple farms abroad to afford satellites and rent in his house. No. He will never do what his mother and father did. Left him a boy with his dying grandmother to fly abroad and never returning. Neither of them. Mother flew to England to be a nanny, and his daddy flew to Florida to pick oranges and apples. Nor will he work for Mr. Sharp, the snowy Englishman, in his ugly factory. And not because Sky's only just over 5 feet tall and would have trouble reaching uglies, those grainy green-skinned football-sized fruits, hybrid offspring of tangerines and oranges, are as corrupt as kids left behind by foreign-going fathers. Who impregnated Chant when Skybeer can't even afford zinc for his house? Mostly he does work with his tractor, which is parked out near the scarred main road. He had to buy new zinc for the house when it washed away last time. His wife, Willie, is gone now. Not dead, but she tramped back to live with her mother because he loved to beat her in the rain so much. Especially on Sundays to show the Christians crossing the bridge now how much she doesn't care about God. Think about it. In 5,000 years, people are going to look down on us for believing in heaven and hell. Hell and heaven is America, where money grows on farms and the man loves to hold you down. He's not afraid of being called stupid, undersexed, and dangerous. He's more afraid of not being who he wants to be while other people can be who they want to be. He wants to be God, his own God. He was born before Jamaica was born. He knows how England treated Jamaica rotten over the years before independence. A lot of people have forgotten that because look how Jamaicans kill each other and the gays in the name of God. listen to that tractor fucking up the land over the commons to build a new missionary church that will kill Twilight. He has no trouble loving another man if love is love. Sometimes he finds things and brings them back, but people think he's a thief. Last week, a goat wandered into his kitchen and Skybeard marched him back to Monsieur Mather, and now everybody keeps an eye out for him. There never used to be a barbed wire fence on one side of him until his now dead pigs used to run all over the grounds of the Peach All Age School. Now, if there's a storm, he has to risk cutting off his head, going under the sharp spiky wires, or else run up the narrow path overlooking the high-speeding gully, knowing that one slip and he's gone forever. But you want to know how he got his name. Skybeard was down in the square one night, reggae music pounding. He was drunk and dancing, and then it started to drizzle. And the drizzle tasted like beer, and he couldn't believe it, and so he shouted, "Skybeard! Skybeard!" to everyone, but no one believed him, but they all started calling him Skybeard. But what does he care? What does he care what the salty world thinks of him? Skybeard, Skybeard, even the little ones taunt him. He scares them and they run, but the big ones laugh in his eyes. The debt of respect is death. He wants to cut off his dreads, but can't. His daughters even call him Sky when they are mad. Who will raise the living from the dead? To jump, he simply moves closer to the edge, and never looking down, lets go of his worries. But he doesn't die, no. He manages to land on spongy wet sand, and only his ankles radiate with pain. Line up, he knows now he can only fall so far. Death is no longer in love with him, so if he's not God, then who is? It's Chant and April crying over him. End of poem. Why I wrote this poem. August 6th was Jamaica's birthday, the day of its independence. Last weekend, there were a flurry of events in Connecticut celebrating Jamaica's birthday. I went to a cookout. There was music, children playing, adults reminiscing, and there was a Rastafarian, like the Rasta, named Skybeard, who lived across from my childhood home in Jamaica. Then I went home and read somewhere online that more than 60% of Jamaicans would prefer a Jamaican under British rule. This struck me as sad but telling. How many people at that cookout would like Jamaica to be back under British rule? And what would Skybeard have to say about all this? I wrote this poem to explore those questions and find out how I feel.